Good morning. This is Bible study and precept, and we are studying the book of Hebrews, part one. And today we're on lesson number seven. And we want to begin our lesson today in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we come to you, giving you praise and honor and glory for the great Almighty God that you are. And Father, we need you that we may learn of you, that we may learn of Jesus, your Son. And we ask now that you guide us and direct us and teach us through your Holy Spirit. Because, Father, we cannot understand unless you teach us about your word through the Spirit. So I pray now that you'll be with each one that's listening, that we will learn of you and bring honor and glory to you. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And as we always do, we want to review. Our lesson today mainly is in chapter 2. And as we begin to study this chapter, we need to review what we have learned in the previous studies in our overview, doing the big picture, in also of Hebrews chapter 1. And what we learned in chapter 2 previously in verses 1 through 4. And today we'll be mainly focusing on chapter 2, verses 5 through 18. And it's our relationship of angels, of man, and of Jesus to the world. But looking at what we have learned, we want to go back and see what Hebrews is about, who it was written by, and to whom it was written. And we have learned that this is a letter written to Jewish believers who needed to be exhorted with the truth, and it was a letter of exhortation or encouragement, and also it is a letter of warning. And they were told to pay close attention to what they had heard about salvation. And we're going to learn as we study further that this is a letter about salvation, and it's for all believers. So we need to pay close attention to it. Now, as we look at these two chapters, 1 and 2, we learn that there's a contrast between angels and the Son of God. We also learn that Jesus is better than, or he is superior to the angels. And they, the angels, are ministers of God. And he, Jesus, is God. And God spoke through both the angels and through his Son. And we need to listen to what he is saying. Now, learning that angels are ministering spirits, what is the purpose of these angels? Their purpose, God sent them to serve those that will inherit salvation. And the world to come was not subjected to angels, but was subjected to man. And so we learn that man is lower than the angels. He is crowned with glory and honor, and he is appointed over the works of God's hand, and everything is subject under his feet. But all things are not yet subject to him. Now, Jesus, for a little while, was also made lower than the angels to taste death for everyone, and now is crowned with glory and honor. And we know that God is bringing many sons to glory, and man is freed from slavery through Jesus' death. Jesus, our high priest, helps when we're tempted. Now let's look, starting in chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And I'm going to read these verses, and we'll go back and talk about what these verses are saying. Beginning in chapter 2, verse 5. For he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking. But one has testified somewhere, saying, what is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and have appointed him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet, for in subjecting things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. God is bringing many sons to glory, and man is freed from slavery through Jesus. And here we see in these verses that God didn't subject or didn't arrange under the inhabited world to angels, but to man. From the very beginning, that was God's design for man to rule over his creation. And at the present time, all things are not yet subject to him in verse 8, but will happen in the future as it was at creation. So here we see something in verses 6 through 8 about the Son of Man, and we want to see what these verses are referring to when it says the Son of Man. Now, Psalm 8, this used the term Son of Man, as is quoted in these verses in Hebrew 2, and it speaks of God's creation and man and the Son of Man. Now, Genesis 1, 26 through 28, I want to go back and read these verses in Genesis 1 and see of what God intended whenever he created man in the beginning of time. Now, starting with verse 26, and I will read these verses. Then God said, let us, that means the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every living creature, thing, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So we see here that in the very beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, they were to rule over the creation. Now, in Ezekiel 2 and Daniel 8, we're not going there to read all of these scriptures, but in both of those books, they refer to the author of the book as the Son of Man. And in Daniel 7, here we see the expression is describing the form which one like a Son of Man took. And this speaks of Jesus, the Son of Man. And now, knowing since the term Son of Man is used of men in general and of Jesus as a perfect Son of God and man, then the immediate context is the interpreting factor of the text. And then as you look at chapter 2, verse 9, and I'll read this verse, but we do not see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. And we see that verse 9 is Jesus, the subject of that verse. But in verse 6 through 8, it refers to man, to mankind. Now, in Matthew 25:31, the scripture says, when the Son of Man, Jesus, comes the second time to earth, he will sit on the throne. And that's talking about when Jesus comes and he sets up his kingdom here on the earth. And then in Daniel 7, verse 27, this also describes the kingdom of the highest one, Jesus, as an everlasting one. And then when you read Revelation 2, 25 through 29, and I'm going to read these verses quickly. Revelation chapter 2, and let me find this right quick. Verse 25 and through 29. But hold fast what you have till I come. Now, this is Jesus speaking to the church. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And now, let's look at Revelation 5, 9 and 10, verses 9 and 10. Follow me in your Bibles as we read Revelation 5, 9 and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." So these verses speak of the time when Jesus rules over the nation, and those that overcome will rule with him. Now, what about us as believers now? What is our situation? It says all things are not yet subjected in the inhabited earth. But according to Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2, believers are raised with Christ and are seated with him in the heavenlies, and all things are under his feet now. So believers are to keep their eyes on eternal things and not on temporal. And God is concerned to look upon in order to help and have care for man, especially believers who are his children. Now then, let's go and look back now at Hebrews 2 and read verses 9 through 18. And we'll discuss these verses. Verse 9, "But we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. And for this reason, he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me." Verse 14, "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he, Jesus, might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly, he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Therefore," verse 17, "he had to be made like his brethren." Jesus had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Now, in these verses, first of all, we're looking at what it's all about Jesus. And it tells us that he became man. And in Hebrew 1, we learn that Jesus, being God, he was also the Son of God. And so now in chapter 2, we see that it tells us that he became man. It's about his humanity. Oh, so why did he become man? The only way that he could sanctify or to free man from perpetuation was to become one and offer his body as the perfect sacrifice. So he went to the cross and died for all mankind. And his death rendered the devil powerless, as he had death over men, the devil did. And we learn in Scripture that the wages of sin is death. Death entered the world when sin did. And there was no death until there was sin. And the devil's power over man is sin. So, in studying your lesson or the written word in the book of Ezekiel, we see that in Ezekiel, it tells us how that the devil's sin relates to the temptations in the garden with Eve and how it affected mankind. Pride led the devil to sin. He was perfect in creation, but then he became corrupt because he was filled with pride, because God had made him the most beautiful of all the angels. And so this is where we see that he was thrown out of heaven because he wanted to be like God. And then in the Garden of Eden, he tempted Eve with wanting to be like God also there in the garden. So what we learn in the Scripture was the consequence that Adam and Eve suffered the results of their sin, and the wages of sin is death. So Ephesians 2, chapter 2, says that unsaved men live according to the course of the world, led by the prince of the power of the air. And the unsaved unbelievers are sin of disobedience. And in John 8, verse 34, the scripture tells us that all who sin are slaves of sin. But what man lost, Jesus came and he died to regain, and he became a man to remedy that situation of sin and death for mankind. Now, let's notice in verses 16 through 18 the help or the aid that was given to mankind. And I'll read again 16 through 18 in chapter 2 of Hebrews. For assuredly, he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, He had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he, Christ himself, was tempted in that which he suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. And here we see in these verses that Jesus don't give help to the angels. They don't need it. But he gives help to Abraham's descendant. It's the offspring, that men who believe like Abraham did. And this help refers to salvation. And that would apply to us today. In verse 18, he gives aid when believers are tempted. So, what does this say about Jesus and men? That he's the merciful and faithful high priest. So, we need to think about the mercy that God had toward us by bringing salvation through his son, Jesus. And then after we receive the salvation, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have a helper when we are tempted. Jesus said to the disciples before he went away in the book of John, I'm not going to leave you helpless, but I'm going to leave you a helper. And that helper, of course, we know is the Holy Spirit. And he helps us in time of temptation. Now, again, in this life, in this flesh, the devil still tempts us just the same as he did Eve in the garden. But we have a helper, Jesus. He is our helper. So we will end this lesson today in prayer and pray for God to take what we have learned today and instill it into our hearts and help us to live it out. Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful for your word. We're so thankful that you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son. He came into this world as man. He put on flesh and walked on this earth. And he went through all the things that we go through. He became just as we are. And he loved us so much that he was willing to go to the cross and die for us. And we're so thankful that through his precious blood and through the resurrection, that we too have life everlasting, and that we too will have a resurrection. And I just pray, as we continue to read and study your word, for the Holy Spirit that is dwelling in our hearts as believers, will be caught up in the spiritual part of the teaching, that we may live it to glorify the name of Jesus, that as we go out into the world, that we will share it with those in this world that are not believers, and that they will repent and come to know Jesus. We just praise you and give you all the honor in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.